persecution of Christians is the act of harassing, harming, oppressing, or killing people who believe in Jesus Christ and obey God's word.
This is Living Truth for Today with Bill Rudge, a ministry dedicated to reaching the world with the good news of Jesus Christ and challenging believers to reach their maximum potential in Christ. Would you agree that events around the world seem to be heating up? Some of the stories we see on the news resemble prophecies from the Bible. We're seeing a foreshadowing of Jesus' second coming. In the book of Revelation, the word tells us we'll be blessed if we endure to the end. And one of the things we'll be called to endure is persecution. We'll begin today in the book of Matthew, chapter 5, verse 10. And here's Bill Rudge.
Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely. Keep the word falsely in mind, because there are those who come under persecution, but they bring it upon themselves. It's not because of righteousness. It's not because they're doing it for the word of God or their testimony for Jesus. They're doing it falsely because they're causing trouble. They're troublemakers or meddlers, whatever it might be. And falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad. So he tells us, while we're being persecuted, to rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Okay, we're going to deal with persecution. Many people have pains in their body, dealing with disease, dealing with family situations. That's called suffering for Christ. And I have a message on that entitled, you know, God's Purpose in Suffering. But that's a whole different perspective. We're going to be dealing and focusing with persecution. Now, I've given you a handout with over 70 scriptures I've compiled. There are many more in the scripture in the Bible. But you can look those up over the coming days and get a biblical perspective on suffering for the cause of Christ. Okay, the next one we're going to go with is the who, what, when, where, why, and how questions regarding persecution. We're going to cover them one at a time, and we're not going to talk about pain and suffering, although sometimes pain and suffering is implemented in with persecution. We want to make that distinction and focus today on persecution for the cause and name of Jesus Christ. So who is going to be persecuted? Every single believer in Jesus Christ, according to Scripture, is going to face some level of persecution. It might be something just about, again, attacking your integrity, your character. It might be opposition. It might be at work. It might be in school. It might be at the university. It might be in the military. It might be in different facets of society, of your life. But everyone will face something, and others will face the ultimate extreme. They will face being physically harassed, physically attacked, and possibly even martyred. We have around the country in the world today where families are facing persecution. When I've traveled, I've been in places in India and other countries where the homes have been burnt, the churches have been burnt. They've taken dung and throw it down their wells. They take their children, like in Nigeria and Africa, and they go ahead and they take them and they go ahead and they sell them as sex slaves. They rape them in front of the person while they're there. I've seen and heard all these different things going on. So we have all different levels of persecution. But Jesus includes being insulted. Being insulted for the name of Christ. Because you stood up as a coach. Because you stood up as a teacher. Because in university you said something about your belief in creation, in the God of the Bible, the evidence for Scripture. And because you are harassed or opposed or get a bad grade or you're fired from your job. All those are different levels, but Jesus includes that in persecution. Jesus said this, if the world hates you, you know that it has hated me before it hated you. And you and I are also involved in persecution. It's because of you and I that Jesus Christ was crucified. If it wouldn't have been for my sin and your sin and the sins of the world throughout history, he would have never had to die. But he died because each one of us needed a Savior. And so because of that, we can rejoice. This is in Nigeria. Probably there's no place where more severe persecution is going on this planet right now than in Nigeria. They're trying to eliminate every single Christian in Nigeria, and they are doing horrendous things, kidnapping, raping, selling into sex slavery, murdering, cutting off parts of their bodies, and they're doing that. When I was there, and many of these young people gave their lives to Christ, when I was there, they said we were on the verge of a civil war because they want to eliminate Christianity in Nigeria. And I read in a statistic that 3 out of every 4 Christians that are being persecuted in America and martyred for their faith is coming from Nigeria right now. And also, this is Israel. Yes, in Jerusalem, persecution happens. That is a messianic rabbi where I've spoke several times. He's giving me a menorah there. And he is accosted and persecuted many times because of his faith in Yeshua as the Messiah. The same persecution that Jesus faced when they rejected him, the same persecution that the early church faced, he faces as a believer in Yeshua as the promised Messiah. So, persecution of God's people, when did it begin? It began in Genesis 3:15, the enmity between the seed of woman and the seed of the serpent. And basically, you can follow all religions, all facets of the world with two lines. One line is the line of Seth, okay? Cain killed Abel. The righteous one was killed by the one who was unrighteous, who had wickedness and rebellion in his heart. And so you have that line throughout our history. And then we follow it from Nimrod, you know, the Tower of Babel. Those that oppose God, those that rebel, those that maybe want to worship idols, want to worship the stars and the heavens above, those that reject God as creator and Lord over their lives and walk in that path. And some of them are very sincere, and they seem like loving people, but they've chosen by the beliefs, by their behavior, to walk in rebellion against God. And then we have the lineage of those that want to honor and obey God. They seek him with all their heart. And believe me, people say, well, what about the ones over in other countries that never heard the name of Jesus? I know that I have a God, that anyone that has a heart to know the truth, I have met Buddhist monks over there that have become believers in Christ, and people that there's no way. People in Islamic countries, God gave them dreams. There were visions that happened, things that happened. God has his way to reach all those that have a heart for the truth. Matter of fact, Paul talks about a great delusion coming upon the world, and the reason why it's coming, according to 2 Thessalonians 2, is because they do not have a love for the truth. And so it comes down to those that have a love for the truth, those that really sincerely seek the truth. When I deal with people, I say, if you search for God with all your heart, you will find him. But come to him with a sincere heart of seeking him, he will reveal himself. And the evidence is overwhelming for Jesus Christ and Christianity. BJ will cover that at a later date. But I'm saying those two lines, everything can be determined. All the persecution, all the different religions, all the things happening in our world come from either serving and following God or rebelling against him in some capacity, whether you acknowledge that verbally or not, it's very visible. Now, 2 Timothy 3:12 says this, all who live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution in some capacity. Hopefully, all of your capacity will just be verbal or just emotional, but in some capacity, all of us have and will face persecution. Over 70 million Christians have been martyred in the course of the history of the church. And over half of them were martyred in the last century. And in this century now, the 21st century, they say more Christians are being persecuted today and in this century than ever before in the history of the world. I want to show you a photo of a young man. He's a chaplain in the military. He's had me speak on different bases and things. And he was reprimanded. You know why he was reprimanded? At the World Day of Prayer, he prayed. He had the audacity at the World Day of Prayer to pray with the military in Jesus' name. And we're seeing more and more of that happening. There's a stigma against two things in our culture and in our world. They do not want to tolerate any scripture that is offensive to their lifestyle or their beliefs, and they do not want to hear the name of Jesus. Oh, if you say he's the reincarnation of the Christ Spirit, you know, there's one way, I mean, there's one of many gods and Jesus is just one, then that's fine, acceptable. But if you begin to proclaim that Jesus Christ is the uniquely only promised way of salvation, the unique Messiah, God's unique son, then all of a sudden you begin to see the pressure. And if you want to find out if persecution's in America, then just begin quoting some scriptures from the Bible that are contrary to the moral lifestyle that many people in our culture want to live today. So we see that happening. I want to read to you a definition that I made on what I believe persecution is, okay? Persecution of Christians is the act of harassing, harming, oppressing, or killing people who believe in Jesus Christ and obey God's word. It also includes insults, lies, falsely saying all kinds of evil against you, and verbal or written attacks. Now, when I was a brand new Christian, only about a week old, I'm driving through downtown Sharon, and all of a sudden I'm at a red light, and somebody honks behind me. I look in my rearview mirror, and they flip me the finger. Instantly, reactionally, my hand went to my door. I began to open the door, and then I stopped and realized, you're a Christian now. That's not how I'm supposed to react. And then I realized one other thing. I had a honk if you love Jesus bumper sticker on the back of my car. So I quickly removed that because it was not going to be conducive for me not getting into trouble, okay? And then I'm still only a few months old in Christ. I gave up my health spa. I'm called to go to Bible college at a very young age. And I'm working at a place called Pit Stop here in Hermitage. And I got these two brothers that are working there. I mean, they're like Peter and Paul. And all they're doing for 2 months is quoting scripture, encouraging me, you know. But then they both move on. And the next two guys that came in were horrible. And they were thieves. And they knew my past, so they set it up that the boss, the owner, would think that I was stealing things, which I never did. And so finally, after about 3 or 4 months, a boss had some things hidden, and he caught them, okay? But before the big boss over me got fired, he had me clean a car battery with an electric drill. And that battery blew up in my face. I had part of my shirt burn off. The people standing by the wall there getting their car done had holes burned in their coat. The paint on the car was burnt off. And they rushed me to the hospital and called my wife and said, your husband has been blinded. It's only a miracle act of God that I see. And I thank him for that. But I say all that to say that this is the kind of stuff that guy did. That's persecution. He would take my hours when I worked 30 hours, and he knew we were poor, and he would change it to only work 20 hours. He did all of that stuff to try because he hated Christians. But at the end, when he got fired, he came up to me and said, Bill, I tried to get you. I tried to destroy you. But he said, you have something real. Don't lose it. And it was worth all that I went through and almost lost it a couple of times, but it was worth it all that for my testimony.
Amen. Jesus said, blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness. It's not a very appealing aspect of Christianity, but it is inevitable. Paul called his persecution light and momentary afflictions, and he said his reward in heaven would far outweigh them. Persecution, even to the point of earthly death, is still nothing compared to eternal death, which is waiting in hell for non-believers. That's a fate no Christian need fear, because our eternity is sealed with God in heaven. If you aren't sure that heaven is your destiny, now could be your moment. Romans 10:9 says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Let me lead you in a prayer for salvation right now. Dear God, I confess to you today that I am captive to sin and cannot free myself. I believe you gave me Jesus as a sacrifice for the forgiveness of my sin. Jesus, I ask you now to be my Lord and Savior. I commit my life to you and ask you to walk with me all of my days. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. If you just said that prayer and meant it in your heart, the angels are rejoicing in heaven for your saved soul. You've been listening to Living Truth for Today with Bill Rudge. Learn more about this ministry at billrudge.org. Please pray for this ministry as we strive to reach out in Jesus' name. And thank you for listening.